from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday, the most anticipated season in Oregon Ducks history. Can I call it that? I don't know. Let's ask Joey Harrington, who conveniently played for the Ducks and joins us every week at 5:30. What's up?
Can we just clarify something before we get too far down the line here?
Of course.
One, where were you last week? Two, are you by yourself this week? Because I haven't heard the illustrious voice of Big Sook. And three, I thought last week was the first Football Friday, and you completely threw me for a curveball.
Well, I did. Okay. I'm going to start with three first, okay?
Okay.
Last week was the first Football Friday. I did not say in that open that it was the first Football Friday. I just said Football Friday. To question number one.
Okay, good. Touché.
Yeah. Okay. Question number one, I was out at your stomping grounds, Black Butte Ranch, winning the Black Butte Ranch homeowner guest golf tournament.
What?
That's right.
Winning.
We won.
How? Did you cheat?
Thought about it, but no. We were great. My buddy Cy Kane from Straightaway Cocktails, I've never seen him play better. I made some putts. We were really, really good, and it was really fun. And we expect to see you there next year. And we stalked you, but we couldn't find your house.
Got it. Okay.
And number two,
because it's hidden. It's hidden from rascals like you.
Well, I know. Well, we actually weren't stalking you, but we were. We did go house hunting, and man, the word is out about Black Butte Ranch.
That's a whole another topic. But anyway, and number two.
He's not here.
We've gone 3-1-2 on the Sook's not here?
No. No. I mean, if he's here, he's being awful quiet, which is not like him. But I don't see him. So.
I know.
Yeah. He's not here. So his kid is going up to Western Washington in Bellingham, and he made it was kind of an audible from Eastern Washington to Western Washington. And so he had to get a run up there and get him a place to live. And then, and then conveniently he has to see Metallica each of the next two nights in Seattle.
There's the reason. You know, I actually would not be surprised if he convinced his offspring to switch schools so that it coincided with the Metallica tour dates.
You might be onto something there.
Got it.
So those
now
are
the question of, is this the most anticipated season
yes.
in Oregon football history?
It's got to be, doesn't it?
I mean, can we call it top five, top three? Because, okay, look, I got to think that Marcus's, well, I guess I was going to say senior year, but really his junior year, had to be pretty dang anticipated, right? Like, we knew we were going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
We knew, like, he was legitimately going to win the Heisman Trophy, right? That's let's not go full recency bias without including that.
Okay.
I would have to guess, because I wasn't on the outside of this, I was on the inside, that the 2001 season, my senior year, was really highly anticipated, not because of necessarily expecting expecting to be in a national championship hunt, but because of that was really the first time that we had ever been talked about being in a national championship hunt, right? Like, there wasn't a full expectation of it, like, hey, you know, this is the time, here it is. But it was like, oh, my God, here we are. I would have to think that the year... after the Rose Bowl, the gangrene, the Cotton Bowl year, it didn't quite play out, I think, the way that everybody would have wanted. Cotton Bowl is fantastic, right? But there had to be some anticipation going into that year. Bo Nix's senior year, I remember there would be a lot of anticipation last year. Talk about, you know, Bo potentially winning a Heisman, you know, being in a national championship race. But yes, like, can you legitimately say this is the most talented team Oregon has ever had? Yes. Top to bottom, every position on the roster, absolutely. Can you legitimately say that they are one of 6 to 8 teams that have a real shot of winning a national championship? Yes. Now, I'm not being, you know me, I'm always going to be an Oregon homer, but I will do it in a respectful, like, thoughtful way. If we're calling a spade, this coaching staff has had four, what's the word we want to use? Like, impactful, just call them rivalry games, right? Four really important games over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And they haven't won any of them. Right? So, for me, when you say the most anticipated, like, we knew what we were going to get from Marcus, right? We knew what we were going to get from our 0-1 team. We knew what we were going to get from Bo. For me, there is still a little bit of, for all of this talent, and for as what, I mean, and you know me, like, I think Dan and the staff have done an unbelievable job, top to bottom. However, we still have, you know, we've got a new quarterback, right? Is he going to be a Heisman Trophy, likely one of the two favorites? Yeah, he is. He's going to be incredible. But he's still new, right? We still don't quite know what he's done. The coaching staff still hasn't gotten over that hump in terms of, winning those big games. So, yeah, like, there is a little bit of, at least I personally have a little bit of, anxiety is not the right word, but there's still a few question marks that I'm sure will be answered after week two. But I don't know. How does that all sound?
Well, it sounds good, but I think all of that feeds back to why it's one of the most anticipated seasons, or the most anticipated season ever. All of that, because there are some questions. Oregon does have to prove, like, as good as they've been, they played in two national championship games. They still, you know, they have to prove it on the biggest stage, in the biggest games. And this is the most talented team they've ever had. You add the Dan Lanning got to get over the hump against the rivals factor. You add, this is the, I think it's the Big Ten factor is enormous. I mean, this is, just wild that they're in the Big Ten.
So you're not necessarily saying, like, this is the season, but you're saying, good, bad, indifferent,
correct,
question marks, talent, everything put together, that this could be the most anticipated season that they, or important, or, yeah, I mean, I could get on board with that. I mean, I could bag what you're mowing.
Well, it's the highest ranking they've ever had preseason. The only one that comes close is, like you mentioned, Mariota's senior year. And that one certainly highly anticipated. I'm not saying there aren't other seasons that weren't highly anticipated, but I just don't think the interest could be any higher. As good as they are, as talented as they are, the Lanning factor, young, unproven still, Big Ten. Yep. I mean, dude, this is fascinating.
Dylan Gabriel. I mean, we legitimately have the number two in Heisman odds, who hasn't even taken a snap for Oregon. Like, yeah, there's a lot of, like, really interesting things that are potentially happening, which I think it's a good thing for me, actually, that it provides a little bit of, like I said, not anxiety isn't the right word, but intrigue.
Intrigue, yes.
I think that's a good word for me. I am extremely intrigued to see how this season plays out.
And that's why I think intrigue equals anticipation. You know, it's just that's the line those are the dots I'm connecting.
Okay. I got you. We're good there.
All right, let's pause. And when we come back, we'll talk about the Idaho game. I would imagine these games. Well, because we don't have to talk about Idaho, but I want to know from a player's perspective. These are probably pretty fun games to play in, or maybe they're not. I don't know. And did Joey ever?
I always stunk it up. I always stunk it up in these games.
Ah, see, there you go. We can talk about that. And did Joey ever once think about padding his stats? We have more with Joey Harrington next. On the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington, former Ducks quarterback. Another season begins. I think we got him to agree that it's the most anticipated season in Oregon history, but he was trying to fight it. But I think we got him there. But yes, Idaho, not that interesting. These types of games, fun to play in, aren't they, Joey?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's fun to play football. There's not a whole lot to gain out of it. You know, you just hope you can polish a few things and stay healthy.
Did you ever get into these? So you said you played poorly in these types of games?
Oh, horrible.
Why?
Miserable.
You weren't focused.
I don't know what it was, but like, and I've told you this story 173,000 times. I don't know which, whether it was Idaho or Utah or Fresno or whoever it was. And this was, you know, when Utah was still in the Mountain West and was, you know, on our non-league schedule, but like, who are 3-touchdown favorites or something like that, and going in down 3 at halftime, and we're walking up the tunnel, and Bilotti turns to me and he says, you know, you don't have to wait to the fourth quarter to start playing well. And, you know, like, for whatever reason, like, you go back and look at the stat sheets from the Idaho game in maybe my senior, junior year, or gosh, you know, Utah or Fresno, like, I probably threw for like $1.80 and a touchdown or something like that, you know. And then SC or Arizona State or, you know, some big moment, like that's when I would play well. But for whatever reason, you said going into the break, did I ever think about padding my stats? I would have loved to pad stats, like, but I always sucked. Like, that was, I couldn't complete a stinking pass unless it was against like all Pac-10 corner.
Well, and I would imagine you knew that you didn't really need to. I mean, you know, you don't need to throw for 350 against Idaho. You throw for 180, you win by 30, and you run the ball and you go home. You know, it's probably one of those things.
No, but see, we didn't win by 30. That was the problem. Like, we won like 24-17 or something. Yeah.
I'm going to look at
your interweb box and check out, like, you know, the scores from those games. There were only a few that were blowouts. Like, there were quite a few of those 2000, 2001 non-league games that were significantly closer than I needed to be because I played really smelly.
2001. Whoa. You guys played Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was right out of the gates. Yep. At home. Won by 4-7-3, something like that.
You won by 3. Then you played Utah, who then was in the Mountain West, 24-10. And
yeah, I think it was like 17-10 till the fourth quarter.
You played Utah State and beat them 38-21.
What about the year before? We played Idaho and we played Fresno, and they were not.
The year before, okay, we've got Nevada, 36-7.
That was a blowout one. Uh-huh.
You went to Wisconsin and lost, and you played Idaho and won 42-13.
No!
That's correct.
You're lying.
Not lying.
You're lying.
My eyes are very important to me, and I see with them here 42 to 13. So,
yeah,
I don't know what you're thinking about.
I don't know.
Revisionist history. What is your most memorable game against lesser competition? Do you have one?
Oh, Utah State was fun because that was mid-year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was like week 6 or 7, I would say, maybe 5. And we went to Utah State. And that was, it was a beautiful stadium. It was the biggest game that they had ever played. And we were the highest ranked opponent to come in there. I think we were 6th, 7th in the country when we went to Utah State. And I don't even know, where is Utah State?
Ooh, going back to the computer?
Logan? It's not Ogden. Anyway, wherever it is. We went out for pregame warm-ups, and I was the holder for the kickers, and they totally pulled a remember the old Notre Dame trick where they used to grow out the grass when the fast teams under Lou Holtz?
Yeah.
Like, they'd grow out the grass over the other team's ankles because they were a option team that, you know, tried to jam it down your throat. Any time that somebody who was perceived to be faster than them came to town, they'd just grow the grass out. I went to hold for the first time in warmups, and the grass came up almost to the bottom of the laces. Jeez. On the ball. I was like, oh, yeah, they're going full Lou Holtz on us. So that was a fun one.
They're in Logan. That's north of Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Almost to Idaho. So
yeah.
I do have to ask this question. Joey Harrington with us here on The Fan. What do you look for in a game like this?
No injuries. I mean, there really is, like, at this point, the difference between the haves and the have-nots, it's like we talked about at the beginning. Like, there are 6 to 8 teams that have a legitimate shot to win a national championship, that have stockpiled more talent than anybody in the country, and Oregon's one of those teams. And consequently, the teams at the bottom have lost the talent. They have lost, like, because of the transfer portal, the big teams are literally going through and pulling every good player from the small teams. The divide between, like, our, whatever you said, 41 to 23 game against Idaho my junior year.
Once again, you're trying to make that closer than it was. It was 42 to 13.
Yeah, I knew there was a 40 and a 3 in there somewhere. Point being, that would be an absolute travesty if that happened. Like, it would be, like, this game is going to be a 56 to nothing before halftime kind of game. Like, this is the old Chip Kelly type of stuff. So what do you look for? You look for an offense to be efficient, to get in, to get out, and get off the field. You look for a defense to establish a line of scrimmage to say, we are physically more dominant than you, and then they get off the field. Like, that is literally all I'm looking for. If this is a game that goes into the third quarter, and God forbid into the fourth quarter, then there are some things that will need to be cleaned up for next week. But this is nothing more than a glorified scrimmage.
We spoke with Lanning yesterday, and it was interesting to talk to him about the new rule of in-helmet communications, which is interesting, and it's definitely an adjustment, he mentioned. When you transitioned from college to the NFL, and then you get into the league and you have the in-helmet comms, was that different? Was that an adjustment? How much better was it? Like, is that a thing, or is that a nothing burger?
It's something you get used to very quickly. I actually liked the signals better because they couldn't interject nuggets afterwards, right? There were plenty of times where I'd get the play call and then, hey, look for this, or hey, don't forget about this. And it's like, shut up, just let me do, like, let me see it on my own. Like, I got it. Like, just leave me alone. Like, if I get the signals and, you know, Jason 5 signals in, right, Tom, 747 throwback, I'm like, oh, cool, I know where I'm going. And then, hey, then I can see the things, and it forces me to think, as opposed to somebody else interjecting nuggets and coaching points. But, you know, that was just me.
Yeah, that's interesting. I suppose everybody's different. Okay, quick trivia with Joey Harrington. The last time Oregon lost a non-conference home game, do you know when that was?
The last time they lost a non conference home game? Okay, well, I think of Boise. But that would have been LeGarrett.
You're talking about Chips Boise?
Uh-huh. That would have been what year? That would have been 07? 08?
Now you're making me double check.
But there's got to be one since then.
Okay. So they lost.
Michigan?
No,
we won. I'm trying to think. We beat Oklahoma. That was 06, though. God. It would have been. Now Indiana was before that, too.
Believe it or not,
I'm drawing a blank.
Well, you were on the right track. So you made me second guess, and I had to go look it up. Chip Kelly's loss against Boise State was, let's see, hold on. I got to double check this now. Hold on. Make sure I'm right about this.
Uh-oh.
So they've won.
What's the game they used to play? Stump the Schwab?
Yeah.
Or
Stump the Schwab. The Boise State. Okay, so the Chip Kelly Boise State game, I thought I was going crazy. That was at Boise State. They lost that game down there, so that was not a home game.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that was in Boise.
We lost to Boise at home.
You did, and you were right. So I was conflating the Boise State loss in Mike Bellotti's last year at home, which is the last time they lost a non-conference home game, which was 2008. I was conflating that one with Chip Kelly's first loss to Boise, but that was at Boise the next year. So they beat him twice in a row. But yes, the last non-conference home game they lost was Boise State with Kellen Moore in 2008, which is crazy.
I was doing the same thing that you did.
Yeah, we did.
I knew we lost at home, but I thought that was Chip's. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I get half credit. Do I get partial points?
Yeah. Hell yeah. You were very close. The other games that they won, some big games that they won in between there in that 32-game home win streak, they beat Tennessee. That was a big one. Michigan State.
Oklahoma
was before.
That, yeah.
I think there was a ranked Utah team when Utah was not in the Pac-12. So yeah, good little streak. Okay, last question. What is a successful season for Oregon according to Joey Harrington?
I mean, that comes back to what you believe is realistic and what your expectations are, right? We are at the point where we should expect to, you know, at the very least be in the playoff every year and compete for a national championship every year. Like, that is a very realistic, you know, place where we sit. That being said, we still are 0-4 against our rivals, and we haven't won a conference. I mean, you take out the COVID year, which didn't really count, right? That was like 3-2, and we won the Pac-12. I think we've only won one conference championship in the last decade.
Ooh. Cristobal.
I mean, technically won two in a row, but that COVID year was one of them.
Yeah.
It doesn't count in my book.
I think you're right.
So point being, like, are we in this place of the most 10 of the top 10 most talented teams in the country? Absolutely. Do we have an incredible head coach who's taking our program in the right direction? Absolutely. Are we also moving to the Big Ten in a year where the playoff is expanding? In a year, you know, like, what's successful to me? I think making a splash if at the end of the season you said we either won the Big Ten championship and or won a game in the college football playoff, mm-hmm. I would walk away saying, okay,
yeah,
good,
yeah.
You know, that was really good. Do I think that we can win that national championship? Absolutely. Do I think that it's also possible to, you know, lose a game or two, not win the Big Ten championship, know, and maybe get to the playoffs and get upset by somebody? Sure. Like, that's a very realistic possibility in this new setup. So I think you kind of have to, it's an interest. Okay. Wow. What about tying it back in? It's really intriguing because there are so many topics or ideas or things that seem certain, but are in conflict with something else.
Right.
Are we incredibly talented? Yeah. Have we done it with this coaching staff or this team yet? No. Do we have an incredible, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the country? Yeah. Has he taken a snap for Oregon? No. You know, is the playoff bigger? Yeah. Are we moving to a conference with a lot more good teams? Yeah. Like, yeah, this is really interesting. Yep. Good job. I like the thought process.
Can't wait. And I got to correct you on one thing. I think you said Lanning 0-4 against his rival. He's 1-3. He did beat Oregon State last year.
Oh, yeah, last year.
Yeah. But they had the one that they blew.
I was thinking of the two. Yeah. So he would technically be 1-4 because lost to Washington twice last year.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And then the year before lost to Washington and Oregon State and then beat Oregon State. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Good point.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. And we will talk to you next week.
Yes, we will. And I will. And let's make sure our friends are.
We will. We'll be back next week. Thank you, Joe.
Okay. Bye.
That is Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. How do we feel about paying for drinks after a hole-in-one? We discuss again next on The Club on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.